You wanted everybody else to do it, but you didn't. Do you know who Franklin Jose Pena Ramos is?
Are you talking about the federal government's cost to the state of Illinois as a result of the failed immigration policy?
It's a yes or no question. I'll take that as a no. Do you know who Jose Martinez Rangel is?
No, sir, I do not.
You don't. You should. Those are two men who came into this country illegally. 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungery in my home state of Texas. Do you think that elected officials should have welcomed them into our communities?
Sir, before they committed a crime, I'm not sure what you're asking.
Do you think that they should have been welcomed into our communities? That's a very straightforward question.
Someone who commits murder, no. Someone who commits murder should be apprehended.
Why did you state during Biden's border crisis that illegal aliens, quote, should have been welcomed and helped by elected officials?
When you say illegal aliens, these are people who are
people
given asylum.
Helped into our communities.
People who are
asylum
seekers.
Yes or no question.
Well, you're mischaracterizing them.
It is your position that they should have been welcomed into our communities. Is that correct?
There were asylum
from
seekers
your own
who were here
state.
Legally.
And then they went on and 12-year-old Jocelyn.
Someone who commits murder should be held accountable. We do that in the state.
And you
of
think they should have been welcomed into our communities before they did?
I don't know how you can tell before somebody commits a crime that they are going to
secure the border and not let illegal aliens come into our communities. Do you support abolishing ICE?
Asylum seekers.
Do you support abolishing ICE?
No, I believe we need an immigration force in the United States.
You don't. You believe a budget is a moral document. Is that correct?
I do.
You do. You tweeted that. Your administration gave $12,000 to the Organized Communities Against Deportations, which just this past month was marching in the streets of Chicago with signs saying abolish ICE. Do you support this? Is this a reflection of your moral values?
Force.
Is this a reflection of your moral values?
I do not support abolishing an immigration force.
That's good to hear. Mr. Governor, do you think that biological men should be able to use women's restrooms?
I'm not sure how this has to do with immigration.
It's just a yes or no question.
Why are you?
It's very easy to answer.
This?
Do you think that men should be using
doing fact finding? I'm sorry.
Do you think men should be allowed in women's restrooms?
I'm not sure why this has come to this issue.
You tweeted that as a protest against President Trump, everyone should use the other gender's bathroom today. Have you ever used the women's restroom?
Not that I can recall ever, sir.
You wanted everybody else to do it, but you didn't.
Sir, I'm not sure why we're on a topic that has nothing to do with
today's You're advocating for men to use women's restrooms, but you didn't do it?
I do not advocate that, no.
Actually, you did. You said everyone should use the other gender's bathroom today.
I can tell you that
you
are politicizing this in a way that what we ought to be focusing on is
the failure encouraging
of the federal
men to use women's restrooms
and the Congress to deal with immigration reform.
Do you regret encouraging men to use women's restrooms?
You're taking us on topics that have.
Did you ever consider that women don't want you in their bathrooms?
So you're admitting that this is just a political circus?
No, I'm asking you because you put
nothing
this
to do
on,
with immigration
on the internet for
and really about you grandstanding.
I'm asking you: have you ever considered that women don't want you in their bathrooms? that's a private space that they don't want you or any other man in.
Congressman, let's talk about
your
failure to
normal
vote
people
for Medicaid. In fact, you want to take Medicaid away.
Men should be in women's restrooms.
And
that's a very
services.
Straightforward question.
You apparently want people
and you're
to
encouraging
die
men to
in
use
the United
women's
States
restroom
because you
where there
want to
could
take
be underage girls. Do you think that's appropriate?
Sir, if we're going to politicize
think that's normal?
This, let's talk about what you're doing to people
do
in
you
this
think that
country
that's
by virtue of your vote.
All right, let's move on.
With
let's
President
ask,
Trump.
Do you support Hamas's agenda?
Sir, I do not. They are a terrorist organization.
Gave a grant to the Muslim Civic Coalition, which just 2 weeks after October 7th was marching in the streets of Chicago to, quote, stop the U.S.-backed genocide against Gaza. Is that a reflection of your values?
I have spent my life fighting anti-Semitism.
No, I'm asking, is this a reflection of your values?
That's Representative Brandon Gill grilling Governor Pritzker. I just love it. It's yet another example of the left saying something like, hey, men should go in women's bathrooms to protest Trump. And you read it back to them, and they're just like, what? That's ridiculous. Why are you asking me about this? It's like, you're the one that said it, you freaking weirdos.
Draft. politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at theAlexJonesStore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, AlexJonesLive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at AlexJonesApp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Gentlemen, this is The War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the Central Texas headquarters of the Alex Jones Network, AlexJonesLive.com. That's AlexJonesLive.com. I got so many crazy videos to show you. Let's just do this one real quick. I don't know, we might need to, I didn't listen to the audio of this, so we might have to have our hand on the dump button, but let's go to clip four here, because this is a Tesla Cybertruck. I don't know why it's giving this warning, but with all of the talk about the fact that now every car in America is going to be required by law to have remote shutdown capabilities so that the government can deactivate your car, or your car can, your itself can refuse to drive if it thinks that you're impaired. And this is what it looks like when this type of thing is activated. Let's watch.
Traffic, bro. Would you look at this shit, bro? Look, I can't.
So he's in a Cybertruck. He's on the highway. He's in a lane, and the screen just says deactivated. It just says you're not going anywhere. The Cybertruck has been shut off. Again, I don't know why. Maybe there's a problem with it, and this is like a safety measure. But yeah, Tesla Cybertruck deactivated. It is a little concerning. So I mean, yeah, update failed. Return to dealer. Critical issue detected. Contact customer service. Comply with cease and desist to reactivate. So what is that about? I don't know. I mean, I guess it could be just a technical issue, but isn't that sort of bad enough? It's saying it's fake. The viral video of a deactivated Tesla Cybertruck is a fake. Interesting. I'll tell you, the reason I thought it was real is because the guy is actually stopped in a lane on the highway. Well, what does the article say? It looks awful real. Again, it could be a mistake. It could be, you know, like a software bug. Tesla responds to rapper's viral video claiming his Cybertruck was deactivated on the side of the road. It's from August 14th, 2025. Days later, the person shared a cease and desist letter. The company responded, said both things were fake, but people are pointing out something in the comments section. Tesla Cybertruck owner went viral with a video depicting his Cybertruck screen going crazy and showing a message. Days later, he shared a cease and desist letter, apparently from Tesla, because he made a song titled Cybertruck. Tesla said the video was fake, as was the cease and desist letter, and that the company does not deactivate cars remotely. Even though the video and the story was fake, some people in the comment section had a question to ask: can automakers really remotely kill your car? Well, they'll have to soon. 2027, by law, they'll have to have something like this. So, okay, if it was fake, then it was fake, but it certainly is going to be what it's going to look like in the future. So let's go to some other videos here. Again, I don't really have anything farther to say on that, except for, like, why would they want to be able to deactivate your cars? Is that really the thing that we should be doing? just once again, how many problems do we have that could be solved by something easy or at least mitigated by common sense application of the law? Like, to me, the thing I'm scared of, like most scared of on the road, it ain't drunk drivers. It's illiterate truck drivers. It's foreign truck drivers who literally cannot read warning signs and are not qualified to pilot the multiple tons of metal that they're driving behind. That's what I'm scared of. That's what I want to stop before, you know, myself or my family is killed by one of these psycho idiots. Again, the idea that we're giving out licenses to people that can't read or speak English is genuinely insane. Are they going to be stopped? Are the cars going to refuse to drive because they're illegal aliens? Like, that's the thing. I don't even want to use these tyrannical measures to our own ends, but like, if we're going to have them, that's how they should be used, right? I don't want my car trying to determine whether or not I've had too much to drink or whatever. I'm an American and an adult. I can make my own choices. Thank you very much. But like, if we're going to have this, how about everybody who gets in a car outfitted with these scanners, you scan their identity, you check it against a list of U.S. citizens. If they're not a citizen and they don't have the right to be here, the car locks the doors and drives them to Mexico. What if that was a solution? What if every car you had to use your driver's license, and if you didn't have a driver's license or it was a fake driver's license, the car arrests you and takes you to the local ICE office where they can deal with you? But obviously that's never going to happen. That's just, how could that ever happen? That would actually benefit the American people. That might actually lower, you know, crime and crashes. That'll never happen. See, we have all of these incredible capabilities with technology and surveillance. And if we decided to use even a little tiny proportion of them to actually address the really concerning problems that our country has, then all of those problems would be solved rapidly. But instead, we're getting all the surveillance and none of the crime fighting, right? We're getting all of the control features in the car, only you'll be driving next to people that don't even belong in your country, can't speak your language, and are driving under a fraudulent CDL. Okay, so that's the world we're creating, where if you're a taxpayer, if you're an American citizen, if you have a perfect driving record, you will be subject to the restrictions. You will be subject to the surveillance. You will be spied on. Your life will be controlled. And every single tiny mistake you ever make will be added to a permanent blockchain social credit score that you have to keep up or you won't be able to get a job or eat. Meanwhile, the people who crossed over the border illegally, raped a girl on the way, paid a coyote, is in a, you know, cartel, has a, you know, 50 convictions and stabs a person, they'll be let out the next day and, you know, if they're ever even arrested. So it's just all of this stuff is all universally and exclusively used to annoy the American people and interfere in the lives of the American people. And it's almost insulting that they don't even give us the fake excuse at this point. Just like Iran, you know, just like all this stuff. It's like, at least when we went into Iraq, it was like there was 9/11. I mean, they slammed planes into towers. They blew up a third tower. They actually did something to convince Americans that this was necessary and a good decision. With Iran, it was just like, yeah, we're going to war with Iran. Deal with it or you're anti-Semitic. Shut up. Okay. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's not ideal to have a false flag kill 3,000 of your people to force you into a series of endless wars in the Middle East for the sake of Israel. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm saying there's a level of respect there that we don't even get anymore because they actually tried to trick us back then. Back when they did Real ID and implemented that or introduced that for the first time in the 1990s, they didn't just come out and say, yeah, we're doing Real ID. We're going to have a digital, you know, component to your identification card so we can, you know, track American people at, you know, all at once. Like, that was the real purpose of Real ID. But at least they said, hey, this will help fight illegal immigration. They said, we're going to do real IDs so that you have to have an actual ID and it will stop people from stealing social security numbers to work under the table as illegal immigrant, you know, migrant workers. That's what they premised Real ID on. Of course, it never happened, right? They go, this will solve illegal immigration. We just have to surveil you constantly. Then they surveil you constantly and immigration explodes through the roof because that was obviously never the intention. But at least, again, they tricked you. At least they presented you something for you to, like, hang your hat on and go, well, I don't like that they're spying on me, but illegal immigration is a problem. So if this helps deal with it, I'll accept it. They don't even do that. Again, it would be one thing if they're like, hey, we're going to have an auto shutdown, constant surveillance in every car because it'll be the easiest way to round up and arrest pedophiles, human traffickers, illegal aliens. Like, we're going to use this incredible surveillance technology to make the American people safer by expelling the foreign criminals in your midst. They don't even make that argument. They're not even pretending that's what they're going to do. They are literally just doing it to oppress you, and they're just letting you know. There's no other reason. There's no other excuse. And again, you just have to ask, like, what is the trade-off here? Is it really worth it? Do you really trust the United States government to use this in a way that's beneficial to a single American person, let alone all of us? It's all completely absurd. It really, really is. But actually, I want to follow up with the video that we just did of Tucker Carlson. Again, sort of crossing a line, touching a third rail of Holocaust denial and asking the very simple and what should be easily answered question of what is worse, killing children or the Holocaust, or rather Holocaust denial. You might actually have an argument if you said the Holocaust versus killing children, and it's sort of tomato, tomato. But these people think that denying the Holocaust is worse than actively carrying out another Holocaust. Okay? It's crazy. It is crazy, but that is the mindset. And whether they'll say it or not, look at the evidence of what gets you, you know, kicked out of polite society. And if the Epstein files are any clue to how things work, killing children might be a way to get into the highest levels of power, actually. It's not something that kicks you out. It's something that greases the ride. But, you know, Tucker Carlson is obviously not the only one who has been awakened, who has opened his eyes to the reality about our relationship with our greatest ally and why we've been in the Middle East for the last several decades. And they've got to be panicking now because it's not the left-wing radicals. It's not even the right-wing neo-Nazi people. It's the normies. And it's pretty much all the normies. And that's got to be troubling. I mean, I really don't know how they deal with this, if they even want to deal with it at all. It could very well be that all of this is very much on purpose and the anti-Semitism is a desired outcome of the attacks by Israel. I think it is. I think it's a very convenient feedback loop they have going where the worse Israel acts, the more anti-Semitism there is, the more anti-Semitism there is, the more funding you get to Jewish groups and Israeli groups. So it's the worse they act, the better things go for them. They are incentivized entirely to be as brutal and despicable and inhuman as they possibly can. So let's go to Theo Vaughn, clip 13 here. This is Theo Vaughn talking about America's relationship with Israel. Theo Vaughn is not, I don't even think he's a right winger. I definitely don't think he's a conservative. He's a comedian. He is a very normie friendly comedian that's probably the most popular, one of, if not the most popular comedian working right now. I mean, you've got like Shane Gillis and Theo Vaughn. And there are other comedians that maybe make more money and headline bigger shows, but it's like half the people or more online despise him. Really, nobody hates Theo Vaughn. Just like you have a hard time hating Shane Gillis. These guys are sort of universally popular. And even though they've been to the right, neither one of them is traditional conservative. And before the Trump era, they probably would have been diehard Democrats. They're creatives, they're Hollywood types. I mean, they like, you know, drugs and degeneracy as much as any of them do. So, you know, they're not really conservatives. But in this landscape, they've been adopted by the right because they refuse to adhere entirely to the orthodoxy of the left. And here's Theo Vaughn talking about the discomfort he feels with America's relationship with Israel.
But I do have a lot of uncomfort about America's relationship with Israel, the Israeli political leaders. That's what I mean. I believe that that group it just feels like a satanic regime. It doesn't seem, it feels like they just want to cause pain. They just, I mean, they don't even know where all the bodies from Gaza are, and they're already moved on to other places that they are attacking and that America's associated now with their attacks. I believe that that will come here one day. I don't believe that that the Israeli leaders, that they have any intention to stop that. I don't see that they have any care for the American people. It doesn't seem like that. I've never heard that spoken. And I believe that if we don't speak up now, that our children won't have the chance to speak up, either by law or by worse. And that may sound crazy to some people, and that's fine if it does. If it does sound crazy to you and you think I'm crazy on that point of view, that's okay. I don't, I may disagree with you, but that's okay. You know, I do want to, you know, I worked hard to be able to have a voice for myself. And so I hope at least you just respect that. Or I hope at least you just see that. Like, at least I'm trying to say what I want to say. And I don't understand our government's relationship with Israel's leaders and with Israel's government. I don't understand it. You know, it feels like there's this war machine, and then our soldiers and are put into these spaces, and they're just there to serve an America that they believe in. And it's no knock against them or anything like that. It just feels like it's causing a lot of pain and fear. And yeah, I don't understand I don't understand Trump's relationship. I don't understand our political, like, why we are so beholden to this government, this Israeli government that just seems to be obsessed with control. And it feels like bloodlust, like they just, like, it's not enough. Like, after what happened in Gaza, I don't see how there could be any other view.
Of course, he's exactly right. And now they're turning Lebanon into Gaza, doing exactly the same thing there, because nobody's stopping them, because it's what they want to do. In fact, I didn't even grab it, but Smotrich, or was it Ben-Gavir today, was giving an interview where he's like, my son told me, Dad, don't kill all the Lebanese, leave some for me to kill. And I said, son, there will always be people to kill. And it's like, yeah, no, these people are sick, man. These people are, bloodlust is the way to put it. It is the way to put it, because there are other ways to do what's being done. There is a gratification. There's a satisfaction. There is a perverse enjoyment of the pain and suffering that they cause. Smotrich says, my son wants me to leave some Lebanon for him to destroy later. I told him, don't worry, there will be enough for everyone. And this guy was literally an actual terrorist who was like plotting to kill a bunch of people, got caught. Then they couldn't prove. Israel law is this weird thing where if like you just don't admit what you were doing, they can't punish you. I don't understand how that is the case. He was, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like he was found with like a basement full of like gasoline and a plan to, you know, kill a bunch of people with homemade bombs. And then he was just let out. Now he's like the head of the government, and he's, you know, high up in the government. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's fun to kill Lebanese people. I want my son to enjoy the fun that we get to have. And of course, what he's really saying when he says, don't worry, there's plenty to go around, is even if we take all of Lebanon, there will be more to take because they're not stopping. They're absolutely continuing this operation, absolutely across the entire world. Why wouldn't they? What would stop them? What's going to prevent them from doing that? I mean, the bloodlust is very much apparent in the Israeli psyche, and not just the leadership. The leadership is a distillation of the common, you know, Israeli attitude. And really, it's a sort of, you know, glitzed up, glamorous, public-facing attitude. You translate from Hebrew on X, you see way worse stuff than anybody in the leadership says. And you do. You have people saying, like, you know, I'm glad I'm safe, but it, you know, my happiness really comes from knowing that the Gazans aren't safe. There's a woman in Israel saying, you know, as the rain comes down and pours and I'm cozied up in my nice warm room, I feel a wave of satisfaction and joy knowing about all of the Gazans in tents right now getting flooded out, and they have to be out in the rain and miserable, unlike me. There's something deeply and sincerely wrong with that mindset, and it's deliberately manufactured by the propaganda outlets. It is hateful and extremist, and it can be and should be recognized as that, and the justification for it being that, you know, the Holocaust happened 80 years ago is completely ridiculous and absurd, obviously. Smotrich speaks about Israel's intention to expand in Syria, Lebanon, and Gaza. Yeah, and then all of Syria, and then Turkey, and then all of Europe. I mean, it'll be convenient. By the time they're done killing all of their enemies in the Middle East and Judaizing all of the formerly, you know, Arab countries in the Middle East, they'll have done that with American power. America will be on the verge of collapse. Europe, of course, is already sort of over the edge of collapse. All of the people from all of the wars we continue to fight will go into Europe. So just around the time they're finishing up with their genocide in the Middle East, oh, look, Europe is a Muslim place now. Now they're the enemy that we need to go after. It is a global domination plot. Theo Von is like nervous about recognizing that and noticing that. And that is a good instinct from Theo Von, because he's a decent person and he literally has trouble putting his mindset, like making his mindset somebody so thoroughly evil and distasteful and despicable as somebody like a Smotrich or a Netanyahu or, an average Israeli on X. But like, you got to get over that, man. You got to get over that. Yeah, no, these people are evil. They really are just that evil. And he's like, I don't get it. He says, I don't get it like 10 times there. What's not to get? What's not to get? It's on purpose. It's by design. There's nothing wrong with this. What is this? Oh, this is Smotrich saying the German chancellor should bow his head and apologize 1,000 times on behalf of Germany rather than daring to preach morality on us, to conduct ourselves against the Nazis of our generation who murdered, raped, slaughtered, burned women, the elderly. You don't care. You're just mad it wasn't you doing it. So look, if they wanted just to quietly starve all the Gazans, they could have. The bloodshed, the dismembered children, it's part of it for them. It's a sign to the rest of us, look what we can get away with. Look what we'll do to you, and nobody will even stand up to you. That's why we need to stand up for them.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalists. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So if I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, get the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why when callers call in and thank me, I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links, and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot of videos to show you here in the final segment of today's broadcast. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is your one and only place you need to go to support us, thealexjonesstore.com. Get a fantastic product. It'll change your life. Get a t-shirt, a hat, something to support us. And shop easy knowing that your purchase goes directly into this mission, this fight, moving forward and continuing to blaze the trail and lead the way on all of this. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Let's talk about what's happened in Iran here. Missile alert, emergency alert in Dubai as Iran fires four missiles at UAE for the first time since U.S. and Iran agreed to a ceasefire. Now, they say that Iran fired four missiles at the UAE and that three missiles were intercepted and a fourth fell into the sea, with reports of a blazing in the engine room of a cargo ship north of Dubai. But then you also have clips like this, clip 16, showing a massive explosion reported in Dubai, hinting that perhaps missiles got through. Let's go to clip number 16 now. So that doesn't look like an interception to me. That looks like a direct hit. And we also know that an important oil pipeline was struck by Iran today as well. Trump is responding to this with bravado and chest pounding once again. Trump threatens to blow Iran off the face of the earth if it attacks U.S. vessels. Now, apparently it did attack a U.S. vessel. Iran said they hit a U.S. vessel. The U.S. said, like, denied it at first. Trump threatened that Iran would be blown off the face of the earth if it attacks U.S. vessels trying to reopen a route through the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. launched an operation on Monday to help hundreds of ships trapped with their crews in the Gulf, dragging the region back to the brink of full-scale war. Tehran sought to reassert its blockade on the strait, which is a vital waterway in global trade, while the U.S. military claimed to have destroyed six Iranian small boats and intercepted both Iranian cruise missiles and drones. This was denied by Iran. Over 800 ships and roughly 20,000 crew members remain stranded in the region. In an interview on Fox News on Monday, Trump described the ongoing U.S. naval effort as one of the greatest military maneuvers ever done and claimed that Iranian officials had been far more malleable in recent talks than ever before. Addressing concerns about American weapons stockpiles, he told Fox News, "We have more weapons and ammunition at a much higher grade than we had before." And one of the things that may be hinting at is that apparently, the American military has requested permission to use some hypersonic missiles that have never been deployed in combat before, and essentially, the Iranian missile launchers may have moved out of range of our, you know, more traditional stockpiles, and so now we're trying to bring out some of the big guns and some of the more experimental missiles that we have. From New York Magazine today, Trump wants action, may restart Iran war. President Donald Trump continues to insist the Iran war is essentially over after an April ceasefire agreement, but his order for the United States to help guide ships through the currently blocked Strait of Hormuz, the integral waterway that carries one-fifth of the world's oil supply, is escalating tensions as Iran reiterates its threat to attack any vessel seeking to traverse the channel. On a Sunday Truth Social post, Trump wrote that the countries throughout the world have asked for the U.S. to intervene and help their ships pass through the Strait of Hormuz, calling them merely neutral and innocent bystanders. The president said that beginning Monday morning, the U.S. will start to guide their ships safely out of these restricted waterways so they can freely and ably get on with their business. Shipping traffic through the strait has largely been halted by Iran since the U.S. and Israel launched their first strikes on the nation in late February. In April, the U.S. responded with a military blockade of ships entering or exiting Iran ports. On Monday, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Mike Waltz said that the United States intends to introduce a resolution condemning Iran's takeover of the Strait of Hormuz. Again, it's like, what a ridiculous mess to have completely started on our own volition and for no apparent reason. Like, what an outrageous and stupid move all of this was. How embarrassing. And even, you know, Trump is like, you know, these people are begging us to reopen the strait. Are they begging you to keep the war going and offer this half-assed solution that won't even work in the first place? Or do they want you to just admit that you lost and let the world get back to business again? Do we really think it's just his ego? Is it just his ego that's like he doesn't want to admit that he lost, so we're just going to like force the whole world to starve so that Trump doesn't have to admit that he's wrong? Is that really what's happening here? Legally, it should be over. Legally, the 60 days that Trump is permitted to carry out a military operation that's not technically a war without having Congress declare war, that expired. And Trump said, well, we're in a ceasefire now, so that war is over. So I guess whatever we do now is going to reset the clock. He's going to get another 60 days. And as long as he does a fake ceasefire in the next 60 days, this can just go on forever. Where is the Congress stepping in and saying, actually, it's up to us whether this continues and we would rather the world get back to business? We would rather not sacrifice our entire country and the world order as it exists so that Israel can become a superpower in the Middle East and Europe can be weakened even farther, because that's all that's happening here as a result of the Iran blockade. You know, China has 120 days at least of oil saved up. They can basically persist for half a year and not diminish any of their production whatsoever. They already have, like, they call them teapot refineries in China. And there's like 100 Iranian ships full of oil going to these teapot refineries. Like, they're still getting through and they're still delivering their oil. And China makes its own urea, nitrogen fertilizer, out of the coal that it produces. They have plenty of coal. They have plenty of stockpiles. This is not hurting China. It's just not. It's hurting everybody else. And in fact, China is benefiting from this because they're releasing some of their reserves to their neighbors and building rapport with them and getting them more on their side and showing that they're the good guys in all of this, and not even hurting themselves because they've got plenty and can spare it. What's the 5D chess going on here? What is it exactly? Because every day for the last 4 or 5 days, I've seen more and more announcements about, like, Air India just canceled all of their flights. Spirit Airlines, of course, shut down. Delta is asking for a multi-billion dollar bailout so they can handle the jet fuel prices going through the roof. I mean, how long is this going to persist? How long is this going to go on? And what is even the purpose at this point? What is the purpose? Trump's like, well, Iran hasn't paid enough of a price. No, they've benefited. I mean, you killed a bunch of their people, but they're in a better position than they were when the war started. And that discrepancy is only increasing. Like, they're only getting in a stronger and better position. So this is all counter. This is all counterproductive. Every single bit of it is utterly and ridiculously counterproductive. Trump faces the complicated reality of a costly, unpopular war in Iran. 2 months into the war in Iran, President Trump is confronting the complicated reality of a conflict that has proved costly and deeply unpopular and lacks a clear endgame. Could it get worse? Could it possibly ever be worse? I mean, what are we talking about? A war has to be like one of these things. It either has to be cheap and easy, or it has to be popular, or it has to have a clear endgame. If you don't have any of these, what the hell are we doing? Right? You can have a war that's not very popular, like Venezuela. It wasn't super popular, but it wasn't expensive either, right? Nobody died on our side. Didn't cost us a ton of money. And just sort of the American people just didn't really mind. We don't really care, but we're not really angry. Okay, so that would be if it wasn't costly as it is. But this is extremely costly, as in billions, millions of dollars. Donald Trump today put out a Truth Social post celebrating the economy raising by $45 billion, which is, if I can do the math, $155 billion less than the Iran war is costing us. At least the request for the Iran war costing $200 billion, and losing at least $100 billion worth of radar and equipment in the Middle East so far. So this is what I don't get. It's like you're celebrating $45 billion. Like, okay, that's already been spent on Iran, and you need to do that about 5 times over for it to actually make a profit. Worst decision of all time, folks. Cannot reiterate that enough. Okay, so if it's cheap but unpopular, that's fine. Lacks a clear end game. Hey, as long as it's not costing us anything. Something can be costly as long as it's popular. Americans will put up with a lot if they believe in the mission that has launched the thing. Even Vietnam, as unpopular as it was with half the country, was very popular with the other half, and that allowed it to persist for so long because at least half the country understood the threat of communism and wanted America to be a bulwark against it and to stop its spread throughout East Asia, knowing that the more land and people that communists got, the stronger they got and the more they're able to project power into the West. Like, that makes sense. And it was expensive and it was painful and there wasn't really a clear end game, but for the people, you know, for half the American people, it was popular because fighting communism was popular. And the last one would be a clear end game. So, like, you could have a war. Venezuela might be another example for this, where it's like, wasn't really popular. It could have been more costly, but the fact that it was like, we're going to do this, we're going to get this guy, and then it's over, It's like, fine, just do it. Just get it done. So, like, you got to have it, you know, like, just one of these is enough to perpetuate a war. You don't have any of these. You don't have a single one of these. You don't even hint at a single one of these. The end game has changed over and over. The end game now is just to try to temporarily mitigate the consequences of the takeover of the Strait of Hormuz in total. It is the most unpopular war in American history. It is cratering support for not just Trump, but the entire Republican Party, and is setting up America to be taken over by a far left radical. And they'll just finish the job once and for all. And it really will only take one presidential term to open up the borders and give citizenship to everybody who's already here. And suddenly the demographic tidal wave has been codified, solidified, made permanent. And that's the end of America as we know it, since people who vote for less government and who actually believe in our foundational principles will be thoroughly, permanently outnumbered by the foreigners who just want free handouts from what they perceive as an economic zone of America. Is it clear to you why people are turning against Trump over this? Like, my God, it is so utterly ridiculous. All of this is so utterly ridiculous. Energy markets are in turmoil. The Pentagon has given its first public estimate of the war, $25 billion so far. Key Republicans in Congress. So it's cost $25 billion so far, and they've requested another $200 billion to continue it. Mr. Trump is lashing out at foreign allies like Germany, who have shown no interest in joining the fight. Speaking to a crowd of supporters on Friday, Mr. Trump insisted he had no regrets. So, and that's the problem, okay? I did something that was, I don't know, foolish, brave, but it was smart. Yeah, it was one of those foolish, smart things, you know? It was one of those things that a fool would do, but it's also somehow smart. Okay, sure. Again, just, you know, what is there even to say? When addressing people like Theo Vaughn that are just like, I don't get it. What even is this? It's like, well, let's look at it this way. If you're on the Houston Astros and there's a guy with a New York Yankees uniform in your locker room, like putting lead in everyone's shoes, would you be confused? Would you be shocked and baffled at what they were doing? Or would you go, oh, right, he's on the other team. He's trying to make us lose. It's not that complicated. They're on the other team. Okay. What's happening here? And the reason it's confusing is because in this metaphor, if you were then to go to the general manager and go, hey, there's a New York Yankee cheating and sabotaging our equipment, then the general manager goes, how dare you? How dare you besmirch the fine name of the New York Yankees? This is that classic anti-Yankeeism that I've heard so much about. You believe in that the Yankees poisoned the wells in the Middle Ages, don't you? And you're just like, what the hell are you talking about? They're cheating right now. They're trying to make us lose right now. And it's like, how dare you? And then it's like, you know, you're confused and you're like, what the hell's going on? And you leave the office. Then you turn around and you crack the door secretly, quietly. And you see that the general manager, who was minutes before wearing Houston Astros paraphernalia, is decked head to toe in the pinstripes of the New York Yankees, laughing maniacally in a mirror as he, you know, mocks your stupidity that he's actually working for the Yankees. It's like, okay, it's all right. Now I get it now. I think I get it, actually. I think I understand. Okay, the people on our team aren't actually on our team. They're actually on the other team. And the other team is hurting us because they're not on our team. That's why. That's why it's confusing, because you expect the manager of the Astros to not be on the Yankees. But here we are. Iran threatens, fires on U.S. ships in Strait of Hormuz in threat to ceasefire. Yeah, you'd think. Iran launched missiles and drone attacks at U.S. forces and merchant vessels in the Strait of Hormuz on Monday, but did not land any hits, according to U.S. Central Command. So I don't know what those videos of the hits were. That's confusing. Over the weekend, Iranian officials said U.S. attempts to interfere with Tehran's management of the strait would qualify as a ceasefire violation. Reopening the strait, a vital choke point for oil and gas shipments through which Iran has slowed traffic to a trickle, is causing severe disruptions to the global economy and has been a central issue in the weeks of negotiations between Iran and the U.S. since they agreed to a ceasefire on April 7th, which largely halted fighting. The two sides have exchanged a number of proposals and held face-to-face talks with in Pakistan, but they failed to bridge the considerable differences. And we can go to clip number 9 here, where we can see just yet another warning signal, where just like in the run-up to COVID, seems like the media's fulfilling its role of telling you what's happening, but not letting you understand the real import and impact of it. Like, yeah, they'll report on it happening, but in a way that is makes you think that everything's calm and, you know, the people in charge know what they're doing. You would think that facing global starvation under governments who clearly have a genocidal hatred for their own people, this is a troubling development, knowing that you're about to hand over the power of life and death, power to decide who gets food and who doesn't, to a bunch of people who will throw you in jail for insulting your rapist. Okay? This is a very disturbing set of circumstances that we find ourselves in. Let's watch.
UK food prices are on track to be 50% higher by November than they were at the start of the cost of living crisis 5 years ago. That's according to some new research by the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit. Half of UK households are already struggling to pay for everyday essentials, and a lot of people are being forced to choose between things like food and keeping a roof over their head.
Not if you're a migrant, obviously. Obviously, if you're a migrant, the food is paid for, the roof over your head is paid for, and the little girls are provided by the orphanage that acts like a brothel for you. So, you know, things are fine for them. They'll do all right. It's just the, you know, English people that will have to suffer and die as a consequence of this. Again, this sort of just odd headline from AlexJonesLive.com. Iran claims strike on U.S. warship, U.S. denies. It's just kind of weird. Iran says it stopped U.S. destroyer from entering the Strait of Hormuz with a missile attack, a claim the U.S. has denied. It's like you'd think we'd have some clarity on this. Seems like taking out a destroyer would be either something you could confirm or deny with certainty, but I guess it's a he said sort of situation. A senior U.S. official has already denied the attack when questioned by reporters from Axios. In a post on X, U.S. Central Command also denied the attack, writing no U.S. Navy ships have been struck. It adds U.S. forces are supporting Project Freedom and enforcing the naval blockade on Iranian ports. Oil prices spiked sharply after Iran's claim, then fell with the U.S. denial. So maybe that's what it's all about. You know, you just got to lie to make money, so it's understandable. Iran sinks seven Iranian, U.S. sinks seven, six small Iranian boats as Trump warns the regime could be blown off the face of the earth. Which is like, okay. Don't you keep making that threat? Like, what are you talking about? Iran is clearly the one holding all the cards. Iran is clearly the one dictating whether or not discussions are even happening. So, like, at a certain point, you got to stop making threats that, A, we don't want you to do, and B, you don't follow through with. It's very embarrassing, personally, to me and all of us. U.S. intelligence indicates limited new damage to Iran's nuclear program. U.S. intel, excuse me, assessments of Iran's nuclear capability broadly unchanged despite ongoing war, sources say. And if you remember, you may have forgotten this, but if you cast your mind back to the beginning of this war about 3 months ago, that was the entire purpose as stated originally. It was all about the nuclear weapons, and we had to do this to stop the nuclear weapons. And as long as we get those nuclear weapons, hey, it'll all be worth it in the end. Well, we haven't even damaged their ability to do anything with nuclear weapons whatsoever. So I think that's why we have all of these other goals that apparently we're trying to achieve with the war on Iran. Iran would need around a year to build a weapon if leaders decided to pursue that path. Sources say the U.S. has largely steered clear of nuclear targets during the current war. U.S. officials argue that by destroying conventional military targets, U.S. has muddied Tehran's path to a nuclear weapon. No, but they probably lit the fire to drive them there in the first place. I mean, if they didn't want a nuclear weapon before, I bet they want one now. I bet things would look a little bit different if they had actually pursued nuclear weapons over the last couple decades. And I bet they will into the future. Why wouldn't they? So again, we're getting conflicting, you know, answers here, but it appears as though the ceasefire, if it did even exist, is thoroughly over at this point. And we continue to see the restrictions of fertilizer for up to 70% of American growers, meaning that it might not be this year, but certainly next year, it's locked in. The collapse is absolutely locked in. As we've pointed out many times before, fertilizer exports through Hormuz slow to a trickle. 20 urea-laden ships remain in the Gulf, and you see the complete collapse of the fertilizer, which used to leave at, you know, several tons a month. 70% of U.S. farmers cannot afford to grow all their crops is the downplaying way in which the Forbes magazine lays it out. Again, yesterday I was covering this, and, you know, what this should probably say is red alert, panic in food supply chains as 70% of farmers can't afford to grow their own crops. But see, this is the mainstream media's style. It's just like, well, look, a majority of farmers can't afford to grow all their crops. All right, they'll have to, you know, take a little off the top. Might not be their most profitable year. No, no, no. They won't be able to have anything to harvest by this time next year. This is really bad. And they're downplaying it because they want it to happen. Again, it's just really all not that complicated at all. And it's a little bit odd if you're taking people at their word and you don't know the, you know, secrets behind all of this. The fact that we are building thousands and thousands of data centers that require enormous, unimaginable amounts of energy and unimaginable amounts of water at a time when we are facing an energy and water crisis. But again, you shouldn't be that confused because it's all in it together. It's all tied together and it's all part of the exact same operation. And again, I'm seeing more people ask it now. Why do we have data? Why do we need data centers? What service do they provide? What are they going to do for us? Nobody's even made the argument. Nobody is able to articulate exactly how 3,000 new data centers are necessary for us to, you know, continue to exist as a country. But for some reason, we are sacrificing trillions of gallons of fresh water and trillions of gallons of oil to build these things whose only purpose could ever possibly be to surveil and control you. So, everything's coming together, folks, for the bad guys. It's up to us to stop it. First, we have to recognize it. Thanks for being here with us. We will see you tomorrow here, as always, at 3 p.m. Central Time on The War Room, alexjoneslive.com, thealexjonesstore.com is where you go to support us, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you.
Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship, and I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the info war is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL in your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer to 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.